schedule. And again, I want to just take a moment and thank everyone for moving their schedules around to accommodate the meeting due to the weather yesterday. So we have with us again the folks. I'm sorry, I forgot your name from the hemp.
Henry and Sally.
Henry and Sally here again. So I would like to give them a few minutes on the floor since we don't have the other folks coming in. If you just want to take a few minutes and give us the update that you requested.
You're going to have the Pledge of Allegiance?
I don't have that on the agenda.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to do it, we can do it. I don't care.
We should.
Okay, let's do it.
Let's just be consistent.
Okay. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Yeah, so...
So I'll just keep it brief and verbal, but for those who are interested, I'll pass around a card. You're welcome to make a copy of that if you want to circulate it. And the actual presentation that I have here that I sent into the office is on the website if you wanted to look at it on your phone. But basically, in this update, we're basically indicating a couple of action items that we thought might be helpful given where we are. One of the things we discovered is once some of the RFPs weren't giving enough time for Ulster County to respond and take advantage of money. So we're working on action right now to create enough time for one of the RFPs that's going to set up the administrator offices for small grants for farmers. In addition to that, we figure that it's probably a benefit if we open an office of project management, because I remember the meetings last year, there were so many different projects going on at the same time. People were asking for KPIs, key performance indicators. So there is a way of doing that, plus accelerated collaboration. The second item we list in the presentation basically points to one of the first resolutions that came from the executive desk, basically order, I'll call it order one, which is focused on the client initiative. So in support of that, there's a report that's due in August. So the idea is that we can get started preparing for that by doing this presentation. One of the first pictures you'll see is an example from the hemp house. It shows a before and after, which is the work that we've done already. And basically, we're stating that New York insulation, which is basically something we could sell in tax, that's something that we can create in Ulster County. In addition to that, their hemp line products, so we included a picture of those. We actually are the team that got into building code, so we're in a position right now where we can accelerate our pace in terms of creating products throughout the towns and townships. Another point we raised is cross-silo. This is something that came out of the Commissioner Ball's office, Ag and Markets. The concern was that there's difficulty collaborating multiple RFPs to really meet people's actual needs. So the idea is to open up communication and enable that. That's it.
A couple of quick questions, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So is there something you think that we can do here to help you, you know, get a little bit more wider exposure or... anything like that? You know, I'm interested in this, and I think it's a good thing. Have you contacted any of the building trades to see if they may be interested in working in conjunction with you or anything like that?
There is interest, and there's a procedure involved because we recognize that building code is going to be important to them. For example, we're in a conversation right now with Chief Ray because he asked if we could train the fire department because they've been to the house, they looked at what we're doing. Had people come by before one of our classes, and then they came back a couple weeks later and said, hey, listen, we'd like to get training. And so I said, well, let me look into how we can get that funded so we can organize the proper training to give you what you want, because they may want to burn something also and see how it behaves.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So the thought is that since we know we have this resolution on the table, now is the time to set up offices, budget, et cetera. So Amanda and I have started some conversations, and one of the thoughts we put on the table in this package is opening a project management office, budgeting that, doing the resolution work necessary, because what that would allow is then putting a structure, a scope of work, and schedule to some of the things that we want to accomplish this year for this particular initiative.
And you referred to a resolution a couple times. What resolution is that now?
So it's Jen Metzger's resolution one that's focused on the climate initiative.
The climate initiative. Okay.
In there showing she basically restated some of the things that come out of the clip.
So it's an executive order.
Yes, executive order.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. So now that is an executive order, which is kind of like a framework of how she wants the government to operate within that framework, right? So when at the committee level here, we would probably need something really specific, you know, that we could act on, right? I mean, because we could you know, make a supporting policy to, you know, support what the executive is proposing, right? But we really need, you know, something to build on, you know what I mean? So maybe, you know, Deputy Commissioner, Deputy Executive Laval, sorry, got to get used to this, you know, can work with us in that regard, and we can, you know, get the legislature support behind you as well as the executive, you know. I look forward to that.
Work is done here today, man.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
My other suggestion was going to be similar to Megan's resolution 76, where we're trying to establish a policy.
Yeah.
You can help write a resolution, Henry, that is establishing a county policy to make sure we use certain types of insulation or hempcrete on affordable housing or county buildings. So we can.
I'm thinking we have an opportunity for some low-hanging fruit because I work with the team that actually got it in the building code, and I know the person who was a former executive director of the U.S. Hemp Building Association, Jacob Waddell. He's working on getting it into commercial code, and I also know that the director of the building department had said when we started the project, this could be a great solution for insulating some of our buildings.
Yes.
So knowing that, the idea is that when can we get started trying things, because we have tools that we want to get budget for, like a spray applied piece of equipment, for example.
I'm also wondering if you're talking to the executive branch and the Department of Innovation, because I think you, as a leader in the thought world of hemp,
sure,
could help push our envelope as a county to really get into industrial hemp.
Okay, so what I'll do is I'll follow up with Amanda, because we were just talking before the meeting started, and we'll take the I guess an action on the suggestion of figuring out the framework that can help accelerate some of this. Because I get we need to go through a policy. Just so you know, a main thing that we just finished recently because of something that Amanda did is we were looking at an RFP that was on the order of $4 million to help farmers, including housing for farmers, et cetera. Mm-hmm. But they gave us about a month, then a couple days to respond and figure out what is the administrative authority for that. So through collaboration, we were able to have our voices heard, and they shifted the deadline to like the middle of next month.
Well, that's good.
So what we're going to do now is figure out how can we administer, set up an office of administration to handle scenarios like this and get that money. And there are other scenarios that are coming as we can anticipate associated with energy. There's a lot of money on the table we have to get ready for.
So there's another thing that came to my mind as you were speaking there, and that's the energy efficiency of hemp, which is very energy efficient, correct?
Yeah.
It's a good insulator in that. So there's a lot of, you know, programs. RUPCO administers a program for, you know, doing energy efficiencies at houses. They go to folks' houses and they make them more energy efficient. Is there an application that you can think of that would meet code that you could possibly work in conjunction with them with, right?
Absolutely. We just finished testing at the Hemp House, which is located on Fox Hall.
Yeah.
It's just behind, well, you're going to see it from City Hall almost. We tested a solution that we call low-hanging fruit because it involves a foundation-level insulation where you don't have to enter the property.
Mm-hmm.
And so we think that's probably one of the lowest-cost solutions to start with,
mm-hmm,
because a way of attacking a problem like this is you don't have to wait until you have everything done 100 times and do it one time in public. Instead, take what you think is correct and least impactful,
mm-hmm,
test it, implement, test your results,
mm-hmm,
and then we may have found ourselves at like 38% of the solution done per house for a very low cost,
mm-hmm,
and then you come back later and do other parts with maybe, mm-hmm, those are a bit more intrusive.
Right,
so we do have a solution, we just need to get the budget organized to get started.
Yeah. So I'm sure Amanda will hook you up with those folks if, you know, you're dealing with her, you know, to try and get the ball rolling, you know, get
give
you an opportunity to generate some income.
Just so you know, I like this.
Yeah. All right, thank you. So with that, I'll ask for a motion to accept the approval of the January 31st meeting minutes.
I'll move that.
Second.
Any changes to those? Are we good? Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Okay. So we have resolutions here, and I'm going to ask that we move resolutions number 86 and 87 to the forefront, and at the request of the IDA and the clerk's office, they would ask us to postpone them for 1 month. They have some contract language that they want to sort through and make sure that they have that right before we go forward with that.
86 and 87.
So I'll take a motion to postpone those two.
Motion.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Okay, thank you very much.
Aye.
Okay, so we're going to move on to this resolution here. I think we have somebody wants to talk about it. Resolution number 76, which is establishing a policy requiring consideration of food security initiatives as a condition of receiving Ulster County funding for affordable housing development and certain county capital construction projects.
Sounds perfect.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if you have any questions. If
you're going to move it for discussion.
Oh, I'd like to move it for discussion.
Second.
All in favor of discussion?
No, you just need to move it second.
I just want to make sure everybody. Yeah, yes, Peter.
I had a question. Please. So, is there going to be kind of like a written criteria that has almost like what we're doing with ARPA, like a checklist and a scoring of how much they are involved in this effort or not, and then that's going to be what's used to say, okay, they have actually, they're in compliance with this or not. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, so it depends on the type of development, but basically the reason why I wanted to write this resolution is because obviously we know that food security is a big issue in our county, and so is affordable housing. And so my thought was that if we're supporting any types of initiatives, that they should include a community garden on premise and then some type of food pantry closet so that residents could share resources if they have, you know, dried goods or whatever that they want to share. So depending on the type of development, it would depend on like what the criteria is that they have to meet. But we're asking, and the other thing is that, the idea is to give priority to folks that are including these initiatives into their plans.
The reason I'm asking that is that we have a small food pantry and it actually takes a fair amount of maintenance.
Yeah.
So I like the idea of including it, but I really, you know, you don't want somebody to just throw up a couple boxes of macaroni and cheese and then they're done. You know, so what's the plan going to be for an ongoing maintenance of a food pantry or a community garden, you know?
So, I mean, obviously affordable housing units usually tend to go into larger buildings with more units. And usually there's on-site staff that's, you know, managing the building or whatever. So ideally this would be a job that would be part of their purview.
I would just think it would be important to somehow bake that into conversation.
Yeah, I hear you.
Okay.
I hear you.
So I'll go. You can go ahead. Then I'll go after you.
I think the two examples you gave in the resolution are good, the food pantry and the edible landscape kind of thing.
Uh-huh.
But maybe open it up to the suggestion of the developers too, because they might have ideas. And maybe give at least two more examples of in the resolution itself.
Okay.
So my question is this. So most of the stuff that takes place in any kind of project is done at the local level.
Mm-hmm.
It's done at the town
mm-hmm.
level. And so do we have the authority to write that into any project that's going to be approved by a local town board and planning board or in some cases zoning board? Do we have that authority? Have we checked with legal? It's a question.
Yeah, no, legal looked it over and they didn't flag that. And the whole point was that if it's county funded, that they would have to support this.
Right.
So,
yeah.
But it's a suggestion. It's not mandatory to get the fund.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, so we discussed this in health a little bit. So the idea of this, which we understood, was these were suggestions to look into, just like we do with solar on the rooftops when we look at projects. They're looked into, they're mm-hmm. prioritized, but they don't have to be implemented. So these are things that are to be looked at, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're not mandatory to get the funding. A couple conversations in health were the food pantry. They did not want the food pantry to be in front of everything because they figured that food pantry wasn't something for sustainability. It was the best thing if we didn't have to have food pantries, right? I mean, we don't want them to be there. So the idea of the other, but the food pantry wasn't really on top of our list because, again, food pantries are great, but it would be great if we didn't have to have them.
Yeah.
So, again, these are suggestions, you know, to be looked at, but it wouldn't, to my knowledge or what we conceived, it wouldn't preclude any project from moving forward if this wasn't implemented. It was just to be looked at.
Mm-hmm. And then my second question, sorry, I'll get right back to you. Yeah. The second question was the certain county capital construction projects. Like, give me an idea of what that's supposed to influence, right?
So, like, the if we're going to do, like, the respite houses or the mental health facility, they could incorporate this into their facility as well. So something like that, that's not necessarily an affordable housing project, mm-hmm. but it's a county-based capital project.
Yeah, we have opportunity to do something that with that project. I got it. Okay, good.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead. Let's hear it.
I think Tom has a great point. Food what I found from Tilda's Kitchen is free food is stigmatized as for poor people only, mm-hmm. but something like community canning events is
much different,
mm-hmm. where the community comes together. There's a community kitchen. People would maybe use it more than a pantry.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also, I think Peter has a great point about maintenance.
Mm-hmm.
There are things that could rate high, like fruit trees or creeping thyme or creeping chamomile.
Yeah, yeah.
Things that, like, they're in the pavement and nobody has to worry about them.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And then when we have an ice storm, well, not an ice storm, but a pandemic, and everyone is struggling to eat, you have herbs there, you have fruit there.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So now your whole property is more resilient.
Mm-hmm.
That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that is interesting.
I mean, you know, listening to the conversation, maybe the wording of the resolution, rather than as a condition of, maybe it should be in consideration. Because if you make it a condition...
Well, it does say consideration. Policy requiring consideration of food insecurity initiatives as a condition of receiving
money. But it says as a condition of receiving money. So if you don't meet the condition, you don't get the money.
But it's a...
If I enter into a contract with you and mm-hmm. I put a condition on the contract, mm-hmm. you have to meet it mm-hmm. or you don't. You can't enforce the contract.
And we don't have to accept the contract with the condition in it either, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think the idea is to...
But if you make this a condition in order to receive funding, it may be better like we do for, say, solar mm-hmm. on a roof. It's a checklist. You have to look at it, mm-hmm. but it's not a condition of building the project. If you said, you know, condition solar had to be part of the project, and then you find out that it's not, then you don't build the project.
Mm-hmm.
I would not want to see an affordable housing development not be able to receive county funding. I'd much rather have, like, a checklist and say, okay, you have to look at this. You have to look at solar. You have to look at, you know, community garden. You have to look at this. But if you make it in a condition, like a condition of employment,
what this says, though. It says, consider this,
mm-hmm.
you consider these initiatives as a condition. In other words, it's doing exactly what you just said. Mm-hmm. Here's a checklist of things.
Encourage it.
Yeah, right. Here's a checklist of things we need you to consider prior to, you know, us giving the project. And when you demonstrate that you've considered them, whether we accept them or not is another story, whether the developer accepts
them. There's a difference between considering it and making a condition of. A condition of draws a line in the sand. Consideration says, okay, you have to look at it.
So it could be a checklist, though, right? Like you said, right? A checklist would suffice in that. In my opinion, anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you attach a checklist that said, have you considered a food pantry, Solar.
Is there language that you're referring to already that you talk about a solar condition or a suggestion? Is there actually something that's already written up that we?
Well, we've done similar things and made them considerations with a checklist.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
The problem with putting a word like as a condition of receiving funding means that if you don't meet the condition, you don't get the funding.
I understand your argument. I'm just wondering. Sorry.
I mean, that's why I think legal needs to take a closer look at this and reword it. So
I'm asking to see if there's actually an example that you are thinking of specifically that we could look at to go back.
I mean, I'd hate to have a great project, you know, not get funding because they couldn't put a pantry in or something.
Well, I would hate to fund a project that would want to lose our money because they're not willing to put in a pantry.
No, I'm not saying not willing. I mean, we could take a project right here in the middle of the city, and it's an apartment house, and there's no, I mean, it's on a stamp, postage stamp. You can't plant a garden. Structurally, maybe it can't take solar. Maybe it's not set up for a food pantry. I don't know.
No, I hear
it's,
you.
It's
I
just
hear
the wording
saying.
Of it.
I think the way the resolution is written addresses that, and it says if there are extenuating circumstances, then it's not required.
Mm-hmm.
And are you willing to change the language at all? Because I had an idea.
I'm open to your idea.
If you change it to establishing a policy suggesting food security initiatives as a consideration of receiving. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
Almost.
No, I think it is, too. It's semantics, really, in my opinion.
So, okay. So, we can have Chris look it over again. Luigi, I know he's looked at it already, but...
I don't think the title means as much as the meat. The resolves are where the money is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. You can put all that other stuff
that to address Herb's concern.
Right. Okay.
So right. Then.
I feel like.
What other committees is going to?
It went to health.
Ways and means. We already did through health.
Yeah.
Ways and means.
So. I'm just trying to prevent it from stalling, right? And if we have to make so it passed health the way it is. Mm-hmm. So if we amend it, that means it got to go back to health, right?
Can we look at that resolve for a second? Because I think it's clear. It should be required that housing development projects and Ulster County capital projects include consideration of food pantry facilities, community gardens, or similar food security as a component of said project. So it doesn't say it will exclude
prevent.
It just says it's we're requiring you to consider this option.
Could you read that again one more time? I want to hear it clearly.
It shall be required that such housing development projects and Ulster County capital projects include consideration of food pantry facilities, community gardens, or similar food security measures as a component of said project, which shall be reasonably available to the public. And be it further. Do you want me to read the second resolve?
No, that sounds fine. It's just the title doesn't say that.
So I think that as
the title makes it a condition. If you don't meet the condition, you don't get the funding.
I agree with you.
Yeah, but I don't know that the title, you know, the resolves are where the meat and potatoes are, right? I mean, the title doesn't mean anything. You could say green eggs and ham in the title, but if the resolve says that, that's the law, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, because my concern would be that if we amend the title, I don't know what the ramifications of amending the title are.
Well, you said it doesn't matter. The title
doesn't matter to
nothing.
Me, but it's already passed a committee, right? The way it is, right? So does that mean then that we have to go back to that committee?
I think we could. I feel like we did this where we actually amended it on the floor.
That's probably a better
and
move.
If it's not a substantive change,
exactly.
It doesn't have to go back.
Yep.
Okay. So then I'm going to just call the vote on this, and then we can move
it
to the other committees.
I want it to work.
Okay. Yeah. All those in favor of resolution number 76?
As amended, yes.
All right. So all those in favor as 76 as presented? Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Opposed? Okay. So it's...
Don't worry. We'll get you on the floor, Herb.
Thanks.
That's good.
All right.
Let's work on that title.
Yeah.
Because that's an easy thing to fix.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yep. All right. Resolution number 80, authorizing a public hearing as required under Article 25AA of the Ags Market Law regarding the 8-year review of Ag District Number 2 and providing direct notice to affected municipalities of the Department of Planning.
So moved.
Second? All those in favor of public hearing?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Well, did you have a discussion on the public hearing?
I was just going to invite the committee to, because I was at the meeting and I'm on that board. If you have questions for me, I can try and answer them. But other than that, not to hold you up.
Thank you. Okay. Resolution number 81 is authorizing a public hearing to satisfy the public participation requirements of the Community Development Block Grant Program, Department of Economic Development.
I'll move that.
Second?
Second.
All those in favor of the public hearing?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. 82, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $313,743 entered into by the county with the United Way of Ulster County for the Office of Employment and Training.
I'll move it.
Second.
Second. Any questions?
Yeah.
Okay.
The way it's worded, this additional money is needed to meet the $15 an hour wage.
No.
Well, there's...
No, it is not needed. We actually do $15 an hour. We've done it since last year.
Right.
This is not additional money. This is money that is earmarked from the state for our summer youth employment program. That is all salaries for the young people for the summer experience. The number might be slightly higher than the actual number that we receive. At this point, we don't know what our state allotment will be, but we will have to contract with United Way to perform the payroll process for us for the summer youth employment program kids.
And it'll employ more than we did last year?
No, we cannot guarantee that it will employ more kids than we had last year. There's 128 kids that are budgeted at this point, but depending upon the amount of money that we actually receive from the state, that number could be smaller.
And so my understanding is that there's a year-round full-time employee associated with this?
We do a portion of her salary gets covered under the summer youth employment, but that is not this $313,000.
Is that the next resolution?
Nope.
Okay.
That is completely separate. This $313,000 right here is solely salary for the young people.
Okay.
It covers their salary, payroll taxes, and
got
the
it.
Fee that the United Way charges us for each check.
Got it.
And this is all reimbursed through the federal government?
Mm-hmm. It's a state grant.
State.
OTDA gives us the money, yes.
But it says 100% federally funded.
Well, we can change that to state, but it is state funded, not from the federal government.
Hmm. I remember this came up. Remember where I asked you when you saw the juice cooking in the state budget and how comfortable you felt with it? We had this conversation. Can you tell us a little bit about how you're feeling now about it? Or
still don't know. For us, it's always a game,
right.
A guessing game,
right.
Of what it's going to be. We don't anticipate it being significantly lower, but there is always a potential that it will be
okay.
Lower.
Now, you've contacted
so
your
frustrated.
you've contacted the state representatives to lobby on your behalf, I hope?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great.
We do it through NIATAP. We do it individually.
Okay, great.
We definitely do.
Let us know if there's anything we can do. Just
yeah, right,
write a letter
right.
or something to give you support for
yeah.
that.
Yeah.
That'd be
I
great.
Agree. Any other questions about resolution number 82? Any other discussion? No? Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Great, thank you. Resolution number 83 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $90,000 entered into by the county, United Way of Ulster County, Office of Employment and Training. I'll accept a motion for discussion.
Motion.
Second.
All right. So just give a little background.
So, this is our other program that we run. It is our year-round young adult employment program. Same process where United Way is responsible for issuing the salaries for these young adults. These are for work experiences at different businesses around the county. Most of these experiences last anywhere from 6 to 8 weeks. So the state provides us with, actually this one is federal, it's WIOA. They provide us with the funding to provide salary for these young people in their work experiences. So United Way is simply just a conduit. We're unable to issue our own checks.
Got it. All right. Any questions or discussion?
I just want to make sure that we do make a note that we change Resolution 82 to state rather than federal.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just texted Vicki about it.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Great. Okay, all those in favor of 83?
Aye.
Anyone opposed? Great. Thank you. Thank you. Okay. Approving the execution of a contract amendment for $382,750 entered into by the county Medium Giant Company Incorporated, doing business as Medium Giant Department of Tourism.
Am I missing something?
Did I skip 84?
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I got excited when I saw that 382,000. I'm sorry. All right, so we'll go to, well, let's do 85. We'll come back to 84.
Then. Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
Make a motion for discussion.
Good night.
Take care.
Motion for discussion on 85.
Motion.
Second.
Second.
Okay. So,
I just you know, quickly, I did email, but late, but too late for you guys to get a PDF. It's just a couple pretty pictures, and it tells you some of the work that we've done. So you will, you'll get that after this meeting. But we're talking about the travel guide contract right now. Mm-hmm. And last year's travel guide won an American Design Award out of 14,000 entries. The thing that's important about the travel guide that we did last year is we did two things that nobody else in the state was doing. One of them is it's entirely itinerary driven. There are no listings at all, and we stripped the dates off of our calendar. We put the events in the right month, but we stripped off the dates, which would make this kind of more useful year-round. And just by making those two changes, we now have like almost every single county in the state chasing us, and like it was such a good idea. So this, because of difficulty getting the paper, didn't ever come out until the beginning of September last year. We printed 75,000, which was less than we've done in the past. I am down to 2.5 pallets. This is flying off of shelves. So the proposal is to reprint, to do a new travel guide. We have a design contract that works out such that the advertising sales is really what covers the cost of designing. So what we're looking for is the money to print a guide, which would come out in June.
Oh.
So
before the real busy season.
Right, before the real season. And just so that you're aware, we are re-looking at, this year we're going to re-look at the map that's inside of it. Mm-hmm. It's this huge thing that people find really cumbersome, and so we talked to the printer last year about making it something that looks like this, and it opens a little bit smaller. Mm-hmm. With the one side will really be a roadmap, and then we're calling out the most important things that people want in the county, which are, you know, where exactly, like a littler map for exactly here are the hiking trailheads, and here is how you get to all the rail trails. Here is a map that will show you where our U-Pick farms are and our craft beverages. Here's where our historic sites are and cultural sites. And we think that might make it a little bit more user-friendly for people. So that's what we'd like to do with the money. And we have data that showed us that if we expanded distribution all the way down to Washington, D.C. and into Pennsylvania, that it would be good for us. We had mobile cell phone data, and we did that with our last travel guide, and they're flying off the shelves. So. Mm-hmm.
How do you get them there? You contract with these folks?
You know, it's so great. The printer prints them and then delivers them to the distribution houses for us.
Mm-hmm.
And then cool. The distribution house puts them like down the Jersey Turnpike and out like up Pennsylvania. I don't even remember what the name of the route is that goes all the way to Philly. Mm-hmm. So
76.
And the only thing that we're really short on right now is that the New York State Thruway,
76ers,
when they redesigned the travel plazas, they got rid of information distribution.
Yeah, because they have their own.
Right.
And so people don't stop in those. Right. If they're going to go past it to go to the hot
right.
shop. You know, that's
so
an issue.
So that's the only bad thing, but you know, that's a New York State. That's New York State.
So we're basically doubling the contract, and that's because we're running out of what we printed.
So you're not. So it's weird the way that has to be written in the contract. We would like to extend the contract. It will be this year for the exact same amount, but you need to see how much money we've already spent with them. Mm-hmm. That's why you're seeing That's why you're seeing it double.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So it's just
it's just an extension
of a year at the same price as last year.
At the same price as last year.
Okay.
All right, that's good. And so real quick, have you guys gotten any data back after last summer, which is, you know, a little bit coming back summer, on what are the more popular things that people are coming to in the county yet?
So interestingly, with the new website, what we did see is the top three drivers to the website all have to do with places to stay, which is so interesting.
Yeah, we better hurry up and get that bed tax.
So It's
well,
super
I
want
to talk about that.
But it's super interesting, right? That yeah. that's the so the top three are lodgings, the landing that's lodging place, and where to stay in Ulster County, which tells you the path that they're using to get to it, right? And then the next most popular is events, and after that is things to do. So it's super interesting. And the new website also
really
told us that the top five regions that we're getting people from on our website is the New York City, Metropolitan New York City Metro, of course. Mm-hmm. Kingston, which is interesting because I think what that is local people checking events, like things to do. Not 100% sure. I have to dig into that a little bit more. The third is Silver Springs, Maryland, which mm-hmm. is that D.C. area. That mm-hmm. 2 years ago, that mobile cell phone data was telling me, you've got people that want to come here from D.C. And we were like iffy about that last year. Well, we were iffy about that the first year we saw it. Last year, we leaned into it. And sure enough, that's right. The next one's Philadelphia. Mm-hmm. The fifth is a weird thing. It's an outlier. We can't figure out what this was. It's Independence, Missouri. Mm-hmm. So we don't know if what happened is there was a film company or a production mm-hmm. that was there that was looking over and over again at things on our website because they were mm-hmm. scouting from there. Mm-hmm. That's one possibility. The other possibility is we went and looked up Independence, Missouri, and it's super interesting. They have a huge rail trail system.
Mm.
And we were wondering, are they working on a project?
Well,
yeah.
That's
there?
Where I was going to go. So if we're winning awards, right?
Right.
And, you know, people look at that, they'll say, well, what are they doing that we're not?
Oh, all right. Okay.
Right? And
yeah.
So if, like you say, they're getting big into rail trails, which is obviously a big thing in Ulster.
Big driver here.
Right.
Right, right. So that was interesting. So we found out a lot of interesting things from Martin.
Right. That's
good.
Yeah, it looks like us, doesn't it? Independence, Missouri?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's yeah.
I have a quick question.
Hey,
I know that you don't have a huge staff to do research, but I was curious about how are you reaching out to folks who are doing events? Because there's sort of like the usual events that happen every year,
yeah.
but then there's a whole slew of new mm-hmm. events and new players and stuff. So how are you doing that research?
It's super hard. You
right.
know, it really is, Peter. We could, without a doubt, do a better job. It is so time-consuming. Mm-hmm. The person whose position it is to do that kind of stuff, the calendar, updating the website, that job is a position that is more than 15 years old in a job description, and what you have to be good at has exploded.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yes,
yes, sure.
And so, really, it needs to be split, that job. And you know, any suggestions that any of you have,
I don't know, do we take marketing in? I know interns is a whole other thing and
yeah.
working with interns, but if we ever would take marketing interns from, you know, one of the colleges or something like that, and that becomes their job, is to be like research nerd, you know, where they're really digging in.
I would love that.
Find, you know, I mean,
I would love that. We could write a really interesting project.
Yeah. And that could be something
or
that then every year somebody applies for it and they become the marketing
mm-hmm.
research person for the quarter or whatever
right.
it ends up being.
So interns, and this is a generalized question, maybe Amanda can help with it. Does the county pay for internship? Or do we? Because I know that right now getting interns is competitive because they're getting paid big.
Yeah.
I know we pay, IBM pays a fortune.
Yes. What if we got some of the youth employment people?
Different situations. There have been unpaid interns in the past. I know when I was with Environment, we always had paid interns.
Yes.
That was part of our budget. There has been some talk with kind of programs that would complement kind of summer youth employment, not necessarily using those dollars, you know, but looking at county programs that would kind of mirror that, and there could be a little more latitude with some of the requirements. We've looked at green jobs, things like that, an environment kind of tailored internship program. So there's, it's not one kind of idea or program. There have been kind of multiple kind of ways at that in the past, but it's definitely something we could look at.
And I know that the communication students are required to do an internship at SUNY New Paltz, and then we have a School of Business, and they probably want to get some experience too.
Is there a tourism school here? I'm sorry.
No, and I would just quickly to respond to that. At Environment, we also very regularly would have geography and, students. Mm-hmm. And those are different because they're receiving credit.
Yeah.
That don't pay them?
No.
Can't pay them?
These students, the DMJ students and the COM students, it's required that they do an internship. They have to pay for the credits. They're getting credits.
Right.
But it doesn't say that they can't get paid as well.
Oh, all right.
So they have to do it anyways, whether you're going to pay them or not. But, of course, they would be much happier to do an internship where they're at least getting a stipend. Like, a lot of my students will do an internship down in the city where they're taking the bus or the train. And as long as they're getting their meals and their travel.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
There's relatively new laws about interns because Hollywood and D.C. was taking advantage of
abusive
school credits is one.
My daughter went through 4 years of college being abused as an intern.
And I know it's a lot to set up, but I just thought
it's terrible.
It could be interesting, especially if it's related to helping somebody advance their career.
Yeah, we would welcome that extra set of hands in somebody who's a digital. You know, they are so much faster than
people. All right, so any more on that?
Given our priority on the environment, I'm wondering what the percentage of recycled content is on the paper, or if you can find out for me.
I can find out. I will find out, because I definitely don't know.
Great. And I know that there's really nice 100% recycled paper these days, and that would be an ideal.
Okay.
Also, can you find out if it's soy or petroleum ink?
Oh, I should know that.
It's gotta be
soy. I will find out both.
Soy has better colors, and most industry likes it better.
No, but I think now most printing has to be soy.
Oh, cool. Thanks.
Legislator.
Thank you. Sorry. Dr. Berger, you mentioned the redoing of the map. Does the map include our UTAP transit routes, or are there ways to get here by transit?
You know, it does not include those routes. That's a good suggestion, maybe for one of the panels, as well as reminding people that the linked bus exists, you know, that they can take Metro North or Amtrak up to Poughkeepsie and then come on over. I do want you to know that I am doing a digital campaign with New York by Rail, where we're encouraging people to do that and to bring their bike, because the buses have the bike racks.
Yeah.
And then somebody could really use their bike for the whole vacation. So that's another good idea. Let me put
and
that
the
down,
the trailway goes directly to Rosendale.
Right, and it stops in Kingston and New Paltz.
Oh, nice.
Mm-hmm. Woodstock.
Right. Technically, they could get off at the Park and Ride and go either way.
Yes. There's UCAT stop there. Mm-hmm. Okay, any more on 85 before I go back to 84?
Oh, we did 85 first?
Yes,
yep.
Went out of sequence.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Well, then I have different questions.
That was okay, all those in favor of 85?
Oh, wait, I have questions on 85.
Okay.
Okay.
My other questions were for 84 on recycled content.
Mm-hmm.
Well, yeah, okay.
I'm writing that down, and I'll find out.
Okay.
Okay.
I don't have any on the next one. I have one on this one. So, but wait, one sec. 85, I have one question.
Mm-hmm.
Is there an annual RFP for medium giant company?
So that RFP was last issued when right before Rick retired. Mm-hmm. And so it has, I believe, written into the contract, I think, is 3 1-year extensions. I'm not 100% sure about that. It might only be 2. Long story short, it is going back out to RFP. We would like it to go back out to RFP. It's in an internal process. Maybe Amanda can speak more to that right now. And we're hoping to have it issued in June.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. And then I just... just noticed that Medium Giant Company is owned by Dallas News Corporation. They're worth $150 million a year. They have 743 employees, and I'm wondering if there's a better local option that we can weigh highly when we do that RFP. It, because we have best value, we can weigh local over Dallas. Thanks, Lisa.
Gotcha. Do you think it's a
There is a local economic development.
Okay.
Typically, I've only ever seen it be 5 points out of 100, in which 5 is for a firm that's located within the county, 3 is for an adjacent county, and 1 is located within New York State, which is some. And in some cases, it can kind of influence who you would interview. But it's certainly not a huge percentage of the score.
If Lisa thinks that out of New York is best, then I would defer to your judgment. Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Any more on 85 before we go back to 84 and Chris can ask his questions again? Okay. All those in favor of 85?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay, thank you. Okay, Resolution 84 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $63,495 entered into the county by Offset House Incorporated doing business as Catamount Color Department of Tourism. Motion for discussion.
Motion to discuss.
Second by Lister. Let's any discussion. Last chance. Not really good. Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you.
And just want to say a special thank you because I know how busy your day was today. And you were representing the county with the multiple groups today, and you hustled to get here for this meeting. And I just want to say thanks for doing that for us. I appreciate it.
Thanks for giving me time to talk about all the fun things we're doing in tourism. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Can you stay for a moment?
Yeah.
Because I have some questions when we get to old business.
Okay, so resolution number 89, we did 86 and 87,
yep.
Amending the 2023 budget to provide funding to the Ulster County Historical Society to create a job training and mentorship program, Department of Finance, Division of Recovery and Resilience.
Move for discussion.
Second.
So I have some questions. My main question is, I just don't understand ARPA funding for this.
Doesn't that have to go through your committee?
Yes, we haven't met yet, so I'm bringing it up here first. This seems to me like it's a worthy thing. It's a small amount of money, but we're really focusing ARPA money on projects that sustain themselves, that don't become a burden to the county, you know, as much as possible. We're trying to go in that direction. This, to me, feels like a small one-off project that then will have to be refund it next year and refund it the year after and refund it the year after. And I'm not saying we shouldn't do it, but I think it should come out of another pot of money, you know, rather than the ARPA funds. So that's my big concern on it.
Thank you, employment.
So I'm going to back you up a little bit on this. I think we set precedence when we take, this is really a specific project for a specific legislator in a specific district, right? And you know, we've had issues with that through the whole ARPA process before where, you know, kind of like pet projects were put in to be, you know, categorized as ARPA funding when, you know, you're really stretching the limits of what ARPA was designed for. You know, I think what I'm going to do is I'm going to request that we postpone this a month and let it go through the ARPA committee and then get their recommendation. And then once we have their recommendation, we can bring it back and reconsider it. Is that okay with everybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you hit it on the head because that's through the whole process here. That's what we've been trying to steer away from.
Right.
Where it's exactly this.
Yeah.
So I don't want to reset a precedent after a year and a half of what
not
we've been
doing. Right.
I
exactly.
Agree. I agree. Yeah. So we'll meet on the 8th. And then
meet on the 8th. So I'm going to take a motion to postpone for 1 month.
So moved.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Good point.
So that concludes our resolutions. And so any new business that anyone would like to speak to? Okay, and Legislator Lutz said he had some old business that he would like to
discuss. Yes, I do. There's been a lot of discussion about the hotel tax, and for the longest time we were talking about having a study through the Benjamin Center for economic impact study. And apparently there was a meeting. And the Benjamin Center said they were too busy or for some reason didn't want to take on the task. And I hear recently there was a meeting of the Lodging Coalition, which I believe you attended. And I don't know for what reason the legislature wasn't invited. I don't know why we weren't. Anyway, and Mr. Maloney, in our last meeting, stated that he didn't want to accept a impact study paid for by the people that are lobbying against the tax. And I was told that they're not paying for it, the county's paying for it. Who's paying for the impact study that the Pattern for Progress is now going to do?
So my understanding from the meeting I attended at Mohonk Mountain House, that was the Lodging Coalition. It was Tim from Economic Development, myself, Adam Bosch, and I believe Dennis Doyle was invited to that meeting too. That the Lodging Coalition had gotten in a proposal from, they reached out to Pattern for Progress. Mm-hmm. Adam did a proposal and it was in front of them. Now, the thing about paying for it seems to come from differing memories of people at a much, much earlier meeting. Like almost a year before that meeting, right? Where some members of the Lodging Coalition recollect then County Executive Ryan saying that he thought it would be good to restudy the tourism industry as an amendment to 2040. Where we are right now with it, I have absolutely no idea, and perhaps you can shed some light on that, other than to say that that I had put into my budget for this year some money for a strategic plan, which would be different than an economic impact statement, but that I do see a need for us to begin to have strategic and in-depth conversations about this industry with the legislature and everyone else. And so strategic planning seemed to me to be a way that we could all like kind of get together, talk about this industry, but that was not funded, so we're not going to do it. Maybe it might be funded next year. But as in for an economic impact study, I think that what it morphed more to was looking at how tourism fits into the overall extended vision of the economy, because it was not looked at in 2040. Am I right?
Jim, I'm getting up to speed on this topic, but that's right. That's everything that I know.
So we're not paying for it. I'll just say this, I will not pay.
Right.
I will not approve in any committee paying for a study for the Lodging Coalition. I won't.
All of your same concerns that I would suspect are our same misgivings about this, that maybe there was a verbal agreement to it. However,
it
does not make real sense.
It's
it doesn't serve us.
No.
Well, it doesn't actually, and truthfully, to amend, you know, what, to think about where tourism fits in with 2040 seems like there's, like, that makes sense since it wasn't in there at all. But, you know, just in terms of economic impact, you guys know that I Love New York does an annual report.
Mm-hmm.
It's paid for by the state with tourism economics, and you see those.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure, you know, how different a report would look.
Well, all I know is from the beginning of this work group on hotel tax, which is now into its second, almost third mm-hmm. year, there was discussion about having an impact study made.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why the Benjamin Center was approached.
Mm-hmm.
And that it seemed to stall for a while, and we had COVID and all those good mm-hmm. things that were happening. And then this year came, and I got a call from the chairwoman, and she asked me if I would be willing to continue to sit on that working group.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, sure. And then the next thing I know, before we have a meeting or even talk about it, Lodging Coalition apparently has been meeting, and they used to invite the legislature. I got no invitation to a meeting this year. And I hear it's going to be voted on in March before the legislature.
What is voted on? Could you just
it's resolution, I don't know, 554 or something.
Oh, you mean the tax itself?
No. Yeah.
It would be the local law number one of 2021.
Yeah, the local law number five, I think.
Yeah, whatever it was in 2021.
From last year.
Yeah.
Or maybe 2 years ago.
It's two, I think, yeah.
Anyway, it's going to go on the floor for a vote. The working committee only met just this past week. Very little substantive conversation because we're hearing things about the Lodging Coalition. We're hearing things about an impact study. We're hearing that the Pattern Progress, I guess, is under contract to do it. Nobody knows who's paying for it. It just seems to be a lot of things up in the air, yet it's going to come to the floor, and we're going to ask for a vote.
Well, I mean, it's got to get out of Ways and Means first, right? It's still back to Ways and Means a list this long, right? And
well, yes, but Legislator Garvis is on. He chairs the working group,
uh-huh.
and the sentiment is, you know, we're tired of messing with this. Let's just put it up for a vote.
Right. We discussed it in caucus. I'll be honest. We discussed it in caucus, and we said, you know, we. Similar to what John said, quite honestly, he was like, we've mm-hmm. talked about this till we're blue in the face. Do we really think that we need a study group to raise the taxes if we agree to raise the bed tax? And I think that there's hold on. So, you know, I was here 15 years ago when this first came up, and they did the same exact thing. They stalled, and they said, study, and we'll have a commission, and we'll have meetings, and we'll invite you to Mohonk, and you can come back, and we'll look at it again. And they did it till they were successful. And 15 years later, we're still doing the same thing. And there has not been a raise in the bed tax in that 15 years, where counties around us have done it, right? And so are we a sucker? Sometimes I feel like we're being played for as a sucker in this situation, quite honestly.
I think we have the opportunity here. I mean, there was like a 4-page report that came out on October 22nd, and only one little section dealt with the actual tax. A lot of it were clarifying definitions and a whole bunch of things like that. We have the opportunity, if we're going to do a local law, to fix the ills of the law, rather than just say, let's raise the tax.
So I don't know if I follow that, because this is just simply to raise
tax.
Yeah, the county bed tax. To the state to get an increase. That's what we're doing. We're not changing the law in any way, yeah. other than to say how we apply that tax locally. But, you know, I'm not aware of the law changing as a result of any of that.
It's enacting local law number five, which comes with
right. Well, you have to go.
Much stuff.
Right. Okay. Right. Yep. It's true.
Just regarding a contract for services, there's nothing that's been registered in the financial system with mm-hmm. patterns for that, and there's nothing in preparation. So I wasn't aware of anything being considered, but there's also nothing in the mm-hmm. in the system.
So again, we're going to vote on the floor on something we don't have all the information about.
Well, Legislator Hewitt.
There is no contract with patterns.
Right,
what I'm saying.
Right.
So, Legislator Hewitt.
I think a big part of our discussion was making the short-term rental tax the same as hotel, because at mm-hmm. first, Legislator Maloney
yep.
suggested higher, but we all said it should be the same if we're increasing.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the definition of short-term rental now needs to be changed, because what it was 15 years ago is not what
I think that's today. Included in the description of the request, the home rule request, right? We'll have to outline how we're going to do that, right? And I think that's part of what's in that. I don't know. It's been a long, long time since I looked at that, because it's been around for so long. So, you know, the only suggestion I can make is, you know, to attend the Ways and Means next week and you know, have that discussion there, you know, because I think that there's a sentiment in the legislature, my opinion only, to get a tax implemented, you know, to move it and increase it, you know. Because so here's the thing. So the study's going to come back, and they're going to say either yes, it has an impact by this amount, or no, it doesn't have an impact, right? And is that really going to change my mind? It's not, because I don't think raising, you know, putting $5 extra on a room that costs $375 is going to keep somebody from going there. They're never going to convince me of that. I've never, ever, ever in my 50 years of staying in hotels looked at what the room tax was. Mm-hmm. Never. And to this day, I still don't. Even knowing this discussion, I never look at what the room tax is. So, I mean, I don't think that prevents people from staying. I really don't.
The only argument they have is with the all-inclusives.
Well, that's a different story.
But that's where the bed tax is going
to
hit.
Because you have a separate rate. You go to a certain amount, and then the inclusive stuff is excluded, right? And
so that would be fine. I mean,
yeah. And I think that's part of what.
If that's part of it, then that's.
Yeah, I think that's part of it. Yeah,
because all inclusives that we've got.
Oh yeah, Rocking Horse is. It's not fair to
Buttermilk Rocking Horse.
Right, those guys say pay a lot more. Right, you're paying a lot more for the guy next door who's not offering all the.
Right, so you're right. So what you look at is the bottom line. So the family goes there, and it's $10,000 instead of, you know, $9,400. Mm-hmm. That's the difference.
I agree with you. I do.
Right, so that's it. Yes.
But I don't think it's $600 more in taxes.
Meanwhile, they just put a service charge on that's like $125.
Mm. Anyway. So, yeah, Herb. So, I mean, you know, I would really recommend that, you know, if we could find out. I mean, I've never heard that we're paying for any kind of study before. Right. That's the first I've heard of it. And I don't know who said it, you know, told you that. But, you know, it would be great if we had that same information at Ways and Means next week when we meet.
I'm just a little hesitant to say it firmly because I'm so...
No, that's fine. No, that's fine. I understand.
But I will, under no impressions that I think that's happening.
No, so I don't either.
I'll let you know.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Okay, any other discussion? Herbie, good? Or? Okay. Any other discussion tonight? Before
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
Okay, thank you. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Again, thank you guys for juggling your schedule to make this meeting. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Oh, jackets, right.
Oh, I forgot about that.
I got to do that. Is there a deadline for that? Have I missed it?
March 15th?
Yeah. I'm going to get some bling.
See when I have no money.
All right. Yeah. I'm going to put mine like President of the United States or something.
Oh, nice.
You would. You would put commander in legislator. Thank you, everybody.
Chief cook and bottle washer.
That's usually.